This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmalis & Associates. As most of the country finally thaws out, or at least here in Maryland, people start moving, cars start coming out of the garage, and for a lot of your businesses, it really starts to pick up. Even the most consistent shops in the country have swings throughout the year, and how you manage your team, your schedule, and your inventory is key to staying ahead of the curve and maintaining profit. Inventory control, hiring, firing, and advertising to stay ahead of this stuff is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want to hear your question answered on here, just have a question for me, or an idea for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmalis.com. I want to say thank you for the kind messages I have received already about the new book, but for those of you that have not checked it out already, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions and popular episodes on here, is available now at Amazon for paperback and Kindle. Want to talk to us about accounting and tax services? Parmalis offers repair shops just like yours. Shoot us an email at info@parmalis.com. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to hire top talent for your top shop, give Promotive a call. And if you need to get your back office under control, give Alex at Wicked File a call. Special announcement, this month we have two new sponsors joining the show. So Maverick Shop Owners is a coaching company that you will be hearing a lot more about from us in the future, and Overdrive Marketing. Super excited to have them on, super appreciate their support, and if you need to contact them now, all their information is down below. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news, you don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Tired of vendors selling you leads without accountability? Overdrive acts as your outsourced marketing director. And because it's powered by AI, it predicts demand, launches smart campaigns, and tracks every dollar. More car count, higher ARO, real control. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. First and foremost, I just got back from Tucson, Arizona. Want to give a special thanks to Elite and the shop owners that hosted me out there. Had a great time spending 3.5 hours talking everything, projections, budgeting, tax planning, cash flow. Was an awesome time. Really good group. So special thanks to all of the guys that had me out there. But one of the things that came up that kind of led to this episode, or a lot of the content of it, was the difference between the great shops and the bad shops in most shops. And specifically this week, we are talking about volatility. We are talking about, why is your business like this? Like I told the group out there, right now, our firm works with 99.9% auto repair shops. I have a handful of different kinds of businesses I work with, and over the years have worked with a lot. You know, medical equipment, supplies, distribution businesses, restaurants, you name it, we've seen it. One of the unique things that I noticed in this industry that I don't think a lot of you realize is it is a much more volatile business than most businesses in kind of comparison size or stature. Even my top shops do not make money 12 months out of the year. And that's a very kind of strange thing. The reason that this came up is we were looking at projections, we were looking at budgeting. And a lot of people make the mistake on budgeting of saying, I made $120,000 in profit last year. If I'm going to budget it for this year, I should make $10,000 a month. My overhead should look the same, my sales should look the same. If you go back and you look at your last 12 months on it, it depends on how good of a shop you have on probably how much or how many of those months you made money. Most of my top shops only make money 10 out of the 12 months of the year. December is probably a big one, and if it's nothing else for other than end of year tax planning, But generally, we have at least one or two dry spells throughout the year. My bad shops are, while not profitable for the entire year, probably profitable for 4 to 6 months out of the year. And this is one of the big shocking things, because this is not the case for most industries. Most industries are very similar on sales, very similar on demand, very similar on a lot of different things. If you're losing 60 grand a year, that business is losing 5 grand a month. But your shop that just lost 60 grand last year possibly made money 9 months out of the 12 months. But if that one quarter was that bad, it's sometimes so much that even a great operator can't overcome this. Really, of what I tried to tell people on this is, are we going to try to get rid of these swings? No. Because while my bad shops are making money 10 months out or 2 months out of the year, and my top shops are making money 10 months out of the year, what I'm trying to show to people is no matter how good or bad you are, you're always going to have the seasonality. You're always going to have swings. Yes, the top operators, the people that maximize this stuff, you're able to minimize this, but not eliminate it completely, right? And so what that means is maybe you don't have seasonality. Maybe you don't have that violent of a business. You do. It's just the nature of the beast. And then for those of you on end of the spectrum, maybe beating yourself up of, "Hunt, why is cash flow so tough?" You get paid 25 times throughout the month. You pay your parts vendor once, you pay your rent once, you pay your sales tax once. Now, if your reserves are higher and your profit is higher, you will not feel those swings, but those swings are probably never going to go away. We're talking about seasonality, we're talking about swings, and some of this does come down to just seasonality. This is something that unfortunately, and I get kind of somber thinking about this because I'm so cold and I'm so sick of it being cold here in Maryland, but we had a really tough winter this year. Don't send me a message if you're somewhere that gets real snow on here, but we probably got 2-3 feet of snow a handful of times throughout this winter. That was hard for a lot of my clients. Are you going to do more work in a week that you have a foot of snow or a beautiful 80-degree day? All of you guys that are from where I am and above in this great country know that the winter is probably your slower months. Now, we see an inverse thing on this where some of my guys are so far north that the winter is their best season because they're selling so many snow tires, studding stuff. Maybe they're doing towing. So the winter is great because everything's breaking and everyone is crashing. The idea is that if your weather is not sunny and 85 every single day throughout the year, you are going to have times where people are moving and people are moving less. Sometimes it's people walking, sometimes it's people taking a train. But generally, if people start moving, they need their cars to be moving. If you're about to put your 9/11 away for the winter, and there's some maybe subjective work that needs to come up or preventative maintenance, and money's tight, are you going to decide to do that job right now? No, probably not. Now, if it's April and you're thinking about getting that car out for the year, do you think that you would have a different decision on that? Yeah, obviously. You guys understand this. But the whole idea behind this is you guys can understand this, you guys can measure this, and hopefully do stuff ahead of the time to try to avoid this. A great example on that one is, would a coupon sent to this customer in December ever have gotten him to do that preventative maintenance on a vehicle that is not going to see the sun for the next 4 months? No, probably not. But that same 50 cent a dollar postcard sent in April could be very, very lucrative. Timing on this stuff, figuring out this stuff is happening for your business and maybe what we can do to overcome it. Well, hon, I'm not in the sunny weather. I'm not in the hot weather. Everyone has this stuff. Holidays. You have some seasonality, just like we talked about. My top shops, even the top shops get killed in December. You're coming off of Thanksgiving. It's a short month. All of your customers are broke. Half of your employees are broke as well, too. And everyone's trying to spend for the holidays. Maybe you're in a place that works well in December, but December's hard for a lot of people. Again, even if you don't have any sort of seasonality on the weather, when does school come in? When does school come out? Hey, maybe August is your boom month because that's when everyone gets ready to go back to school. Maybe you are in a school town. My college towns are dead in the summer. They make all of their money when the college kids are there. They have a much different model than you do, and they probably have different advertising, staffing, and inventory goals as well. Well, hon, I'm not in a college town. I don't have any weather. I'm out here in West Texas. Maybe you have something even stranger that your economy is tied to something else. A lot of my clients that are in some of these oil towns on it, if oil is good, then their business is good. And if oil is not, then neither is their business. Understanding this stuff, looking at these trends, and trying to stay ahead of this is a key to having a profitable business, probably an easier to run business than one where you constantly feel like you're putting out fires in trying to solve small issues. But Hunt, why are we talking about this? If you said it is the way it is and every shop is like this, then what are we doing here? I'll come back to that with three different questions to you. If you knew that you're going to be busy next month, would you hire that person now or in 2 months? If you knew that you were going to be slow next month, would you advertise now or again in 2 months? And then if you're going into April, would you buy a load of snow tires or probably hold off on this? The general idea here is that profitable shops are ahead of the curve. If you're responding to demand and putting out fire, it's already too late. There isn't any perfect answers, but let's look at three categories: labor, advertising, and inventory, to kind of unpack a couple of these in a little bit more detail. Before we go into these three categories, I will tell you that there is a very easy way to not get surprised by any of this stuff. You just have to have a crystal ball. If you have a crystal ball, you'll always be at the peak ideal level of labor. You'll always be at the peak level of advertising, and same with inventory. A bit tongue-in-cheek here, but it's kind of deliberate. You are never going to hit this on the dot. Like I always joke about on taxes, everyone wants to break even. I've never done a tax return where you don't owe any money and you're not getting any back. You're always going to have to err one side or the other. We're going to go down through and we're going to talk about this, and that's what I want in the back of your mind. Okay, when would this happen? And what is the upside and the downside if I do this early or if I do this late? If I do all this advertising earlier and I get a bunch of cars too early, is that really as bad of a problem as doing it too late and having guys sit there with nothing to do? Is this the only way to run a business? Absolutely not. These are just Hunt's random thoughts on three different things, and let's see if you agree with them or not. Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry and recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry. Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses: customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. If your car count fluctuates and you don't know why, that's not marketing, that's gambling. Overdrive.os installs a true marketing operating system inside your shop. It monitors performance daily, predicts slow weeks before they hit, and automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns to stabilize car count. Every dollar is tracked, every campaign is measured, every result is optimized. No random boost, no guesswork, no hope marketing. This is controlled via data-driven growth built specifically for auto repair shops. If you're ready for predictable revenue and getting the most out of your marketing, visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. So labor. Labor is fairly easy. The most profitable way to run a business is understaffed. The most miserable way to run a business is also understaffed as well. Take a look at a Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's don't always make the most profit, but they are very well run because they have probably a 10-to-1 ratio of staff to customers. Is that going to be an easier business to run? Sure. Is that going to be a great customer experience for the customer? Absolutely. Could you run the same exact model on your shop? Yes, and I have a lot of people that do, that are shifting to the hospitality side. But a lot of times you look at this and it has to do with if you want more people, if you want more ease of operations, you have to forego some profit. Most people have a bell curve on this. Most people have a bell curve of profitability and it peaks out at some point. And then when it starts to fall down, you're not lowering your prices, you're not lowering your margins, you're not cutting advertising, you're probably hiring more people because now you're willing to give up some of that profit to get your time back. It's always good to run this understaffed, and maybe you start as understaffed because it was only you, but once you get some money, once you have the ability to have some profit, it's always going to be better to get people in there. Getting people in there gets you your time back, increases your longevity, and also the more people in there, the more potential there is for sales. A more practical example of where you could use this one in an actual situation all has to do with what we're talking about, projections, right? And I talked about this with the Elite Group in Tucson. We were talking about working down through your projections and making sure that you understand what those projections were actually saying and what they meant that you probably had to do as a business owner. Then the general idea on this is a lot of you guys went down through projections for this year and you guys might have projected yourself into disaster, right? We've talked about this in the past. But if you go down through this and you did a projection saying that you're going to go from 1.5 million to 2 million, you might have also just told yourself that you instantly need to hire a person because in 3 months, if you are to hit these guidelines, if you are to hit these demands, you're going to need another person because you're just going to run out of hours. Making sure that you can put the ad in now, if you need to get a technician in 6 months, is extremely, extremely important. Guys, we talk about all the time with Promotive and the other recruiters that are out there. If you are slow this week, if you found out, you know what, we actually hit our goal, we have these cars coming in, the phone is ringing off the hook, and you can't have a technician there to service it, how much in lost opportunity is there just in a week, just in a month? Well, Hunt, on the other side of this, what if I have too many people? And then again, there's arguments on all of this. Again, it's going to be understaffed, but I will argue another thing, that if you have too many people, you get that person too early, that just means you don't have enough cars yet. If you're limited by space or people, then sure. But if you have the space and you have the people in there, then you're only going to be limited by the cars. To segue onto that, right, we were talking about labor, we're talking about advertising. This is the natural kind of trend on this. I got the people in there, but it doesn't matter if I don't have the cars, and arguably vice versa. You know that you're going to need 4 guys. You know that you're going to need to boost production by 25%. What are you going to do for advertising? So the most classic example, and I went and I asked this group about it, is they said, well, you need to increase your advertising by 25%. And I said, what a strange way to do this, because that is a bad way to measure this, and it is also going to be a very bad goal back to our advertisers. Sure, if you go back to your advertiser and say, I would like to spend 25% more with you, they're going to be rather happy to accept that. But the thing about it is they're going to be very disappointed when you come back at the end of the year and say, you guys did not do what I asked you. And they did exactly what you asked them. You asked them to spend your advertising production by 25%. Instead, what you actually need to do is you need to figure out what you want, how you want it, and when you want it. So the advertising, and again, just like the labor, is all about timing. And for the advertising side, a lot about measurement as well. You guys get this, right? More advertising equals more cars. And depending on where you are, what you're doing, what your plans are, it's going to take some time. Some of this stuff is very quick lead time. Some of this stuff is extremely long. But the whole idea that I want to stress on here is you need to figure out what works for your market. And you need to start planning ahead on it. Maybe your market is quick and advertising only needs to start about 30 days before you want some of that stuff to start to happen. Then great, do it. If you're starting to advertise on the same day that technician is starting, then you're not even taking your own advice. If you have no idea what works, then hey, first and foremost, maybe you need a professional to help you on the advertising side. But if you want a rule of thumb, I've always generally heard 90 days. If you want to see real results, give them at least 90 days before that to really start expecting that. So that's about timing. But again, if you err on the side of too early, what would you prefer, too early or too late? You do this too early, we got cars coming in before the person even starts. Maybe we can accelerate that. Maybe we can schedule them out. Too late, we have lost opportunity. We have lost wages, et cetera, et cetera. Like I mentioned though before, timing is only one side of this. Measurement is a huge thing. I will go back to you guys with the same thing I've heard a ton of times. I have a goal of 30% more in sales. Can you help me with that? How? You haven't quantified anything when you went back to that marketing agency, when you went back to your marketing coordinator. Instead, what you need to figure out, and you might need to quantify this stuff, is I have a goal of 10 new cars a week, and I need to boost my customer base by the end of the year to probably around 40%. Definable goal, easy to measure, and guaranteed to succeed, because if the advertiser meets your goals, you guys now have the same goals. It's not what you spend. It's not when you do this always, but a lot of times of how you measure this and how you can communicate this to achieve the defined results. Like I talked about above, there are three limiting factors: space, people, and then cars. But I guess there are technically four limiting factors if you want to add in inventory. If you don't have any parts, you cannot sell anything. And I will agree with you guys, this is arguably a non-issue for a lot of you, but I wanted to remind you guys on the effects of inventory. First and foremost on here, inventory is not a deduction. And sometimes this can be the worst thing, especially in a growth year. If you have $100,000 in profit and want to get into tires, and you turn around and put that a full $100,000 into your inventory, you're now going to have a $25,000 tax bill and $0 to show for it. Use other people's inventory as much as we possibly can. Take a look at what you have in stock and see if you can free up some of this, or maybe swap it up for faster moving stock. And again, if you are getting into growth mode, maybe look at someone and possibly financing on this. Does that mean that in this situation, I would go out and I would finance a full $100,000 in tires? No, because if I'm getting into $100,000 in tires, I know a lot of those I'm pretty quickly going to turn around and sell. Some of those are going to turn into a little bit longer term projects. But the whole idea on this is that you don't want to be surprised by that. It's great to deliberately reinvest the profits into your business if you have the financial wherewithal to do that. But again, it is also a very, very stark surprise sometimes when we have that April 14th phone call. Last but not least on this, the honest, most common issue that you guys have with inventory is just bloated inventory by lack of control. What's worse than stocking three control arms? Buying a fourth one because no one knew that you had it on the shelves. This seemed to be one of the common themes when I was talking in Tucson with the shop owners, is that all of them admitted that they could probably do better on inventory. Look at that shelf for what it is. If it's not in your bank account, it's on your shelf, and vice versa. Free up some of these parts, get it out of there, write it off. The last thing we want to do is have inventory out there that we don't want. But like I said, even worse would be paying tax on some of this stuff as well. You guys have a plan for this year. The level of detail that you put into it is probably going to dictate if you hit your results or if you don't. Erring the side of too early is generally better than missing the mark, but your goals and your business will guide you to the right plan. These are all just numbers, and like I always say, numbers do not lie, but the people reading them often do. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmalis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can find the rest of the shows on the new Automotive Repair Podcast Network app on your favorite podcast listening apps. So thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.